And you're welcome back to the programme. The time now, 28 minutes to the hour, and I'm delighted to be joined, as always at this time on a Monday evening, by Liam Horan. Good evening to you, Liam. Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much indeed. You're very welcome, Liam, as always. This evening we're discussing an email from DR. I'll just read it as it came in. I did an interview last week, and to be honest, it was bizarre. They kept telling me all the problems they had in the position and how difficult it would be for me to resolve those difficulties. I barely got a chance to talk. By the end of the interview, I felt like saying thanks, but no thanks. Any tips on how I should have handled the interview?
Well, it's interesting that I had a very similar experience with a client lately where they came out of the interview saying, God, if they couldn't have done a worse job than trying to sell it to me, if you know what I mean. So it highlights a very interesting point. Recruitment is not an exact science. Interviews are not an exact science. And it sounds to me like the people who did the interview here were not professional recruiters or interviewers. Or you know, there were people who were running a business, perhaps, and, you know, segued off into this to get somebody hired for a role they had in mind. And what often happens, people, when they start talking about their own business, is they get kind of carried away and start talking about it almost too honestly. And from the candidate's perspective, which is, of course, what we worry most about, you've got to learn how to read the situation. You've got to make sure you don't, debar yourself in some way by reacting to what they're saying. But, you know, you've got to read it and see, can you get to the kernel of the problems they're talking about, and can you be the solution to those problems? Can you be the person who can say to them, you know, what you're saying there can be summarized as follows, and yes, that is something I can do. It's a difficult one if they're very keen to talk and telling you all the problems they have, but they're expressing a real frustration that they're experiencing, and it sounds like that's why they held the interviews, to find somebody to resolve these issues. So a candidate has always got to watch the opportunity to prove that they're the solution to the problem. And in this case, there was no trouble having the problems identified. Sometimes interview panels go the other way and show you very little about the company, and you've got to try and extrapolate or anticipate in some way. Whereas in this case, at least DR had the advantage of being told the problems, and therefore you're in a better position than to try and hopefully be the solution to the problems for the company.
I'm trying to imagine the position DR found himself or herself in. If you're sitting there and you're listening to the board members, and usually there would be three or maybe four of them, whether they're professional recruiters, by the sound of it, I wouldn't have thought so.
No, it doesn't sound like it. No.
But if they're involved with this particular company, the idea that they would hurl all of their problems at you and barely give the interviewee an opportunity to respond suggests that it really mightn't be the place to work. And also, how are they going to gauge the contribution that DR can give or can't give if DR get so little time to respond?
Yeah, and I mean, the point I'd make is this sounds like a very poorly conducted interview, but there are loads of those out there. I mean, we would hear from candidates all the time about bizarre things that happen. So, you know, I suppose I started by making that point. If you expect everything to run by the book and be very formulaic and you know, and very reliable how it's going to go, you know, anything can happen in an interview. This is the thing about it. Anything can happen. And this is a very unusual one. But it doesn't surprise me. As I said, I heard it recently and I've heard it before as well, where, let's just say, for example, the people interviewing didn't have the expertise to solve the problem. And when you don't have expertise to solve a problem, that problem looks three times bigger than it might actually be, if you know what I mean. So they may have been just venting their frustration in the hope that the successful candidate will know exactly what the story is here, not be under any illusions, and, you know, will know what they're getting into. Although, as you rightly say, how do you find a successful candidate if you don't give them a chance to talk? But the point for the candidate always is, try and find what they're looking for and see, can you be that solution? So even in the few seconds or minutes they got to talk, they need to be addressing the problems that are being identified, and not getting overwhelmed by them or not feeling submerged by them, but actually trying to pick off ways of showing that you can resolve the problem. Now, you touched on there, maybe they're not the right company to work for in the first place. They may well not be, but that's not an issue for the first interview. That is something you can decide driving home in the car or over the coming days. The first interview is always about proving to them that you can be the successful candidate. The chance to withdraw will come later, but if you start second-guessing it right during the interview, you certainly run very little chance of being the successful candidate. So, you know, the overall advice I would have to candidates going to all interviews is anything could happen here. Keep your eye on the ball. Try to be the solution to their problem as best you can. And the thing about this one as well is that this interview panel were almost certainly the same for every other candidate. So it is a like-with-like situation. They're probably through the same raw mesh at the next candidate and the candidate before you. So, you know, you're only trying to win in the context of what they're doing. You know, it's not like there's a totally different interview with the next person. Generally, people behave the same right throughout a day interviewing.
On the basis of the type of interview that DR was subject to, would it be fair enough to perhaps ask yourself, well, this sounds like a dysfunctional business or a dysfunctional company. I really don't want to work here.
I just don't think the first interview is the day to make that conclusion. I think you can you know, pick up that vibe, you can go home and weigh it up. But I think that, you know, during the interview is not the time to be second-guessing that. I think that comes later. And it's a very real consideration. You know, every time we go for an interview, to a certain extent, we're interviewing the company as well, because you don't want to be going to a work in a place where you're not happy, where you feel people are not on the ball or focused or whatever, you know. So, yes, it's something that DR should consider, but it would be a waste of the opportunity to form that conclusion or to mull over that possibility during the first interview itself. That comes later, in my view.
And, Liam, just a text in, pretty relevant question. If the interviewee, if DR felt that because there were so many interruptions and because he or she didn't get a chance to talk, that they didn't sell themselves sufficiently well, would there be any sense perhaps in contacting the company in advance of hearing as to the outcome of the interview and saying, look, I have thought about the interview and I have some ideas that might be of use to you, but I just didn't get the opportunity to express those ideas when I was being interviewed?
I don't think it's a bad idea. It depends on the type of company it was. In some cases, the interview panel have convened on the day, make their decision that evening, and nothing else will change that. But it sounds to me like this company is poorly structured in terms of interviewing. So if you were to send in an email, as you're saying, having reflected on what we talked about, here are some suggestions. I wouldn't say I didn't get a chance to talk during the interview. That would sound slightly critical. But you can make them, you know, offer five or six solutions to the problems they talked about, showing your expertise, showing your ability to come up with something innovative in terms of a solution, and also, if it is the case, reaffirming your desire to get a crack at the job. I think that's a really good idea, done the right way. I think it's an excellent idea. I know from interviewing before, it happened quite recently, I was doing some work for a company, and the preferred candidate, interviewers are always wondering, will the candidates take the job if they're offered it? It's never as clear-cut as every single person who turns up is definitely going to take the job if it's offered, because all sorts of factors feed in at that stage. But I've experienced, as I said recently, sitting in an interview panel, picking the preferred candidate and being very reassured that evening when the preferred candidate sent a very short, brief, courteous and sort of reaffirming email to the panel saying, thank you for the opportunity, really enjoyed it, my appetite is further whetted, look forward to hearing from you. So things after the interview can be influential, but not for every company. In more structured things like public service, it probably wouldn't get past the gatekeepers, but in a situation like this, where I think they're not very structured, it could very well be decisive, presuming DR wants the job.
And just one final text, the behaviour of the interview board, does that not portray a total lack of courtesy to the interviewee?
It doesn't smack of any great professionalism, but in some ways that's what will happen. You know what I mean? Candidates can't be worrying too much about that. It's part of your decision, but as I said earlier, they probably were exactly the same to everybody else. It's just how they went about it, weren't very organised, probably needed some HR input to make a better job of it. I wouldn't take it personally. I would look at it from a professional sense that are they focused enough? Are they on the ball enough? I wouldn't take it as a personal thing towards me. You know, they still give you a chance to compete and probably the same chance to give everybody else, which sounds like very little chance, but everybody was in the same boat that day.
Very good. We have to leave it there. Liam Horan, thank you very much indeed, as always, for joining us.